Now, this morning we're speaking to you about different days in the Bible and the significance of those days and the meaning of them. And as we closed out, we made reference to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, where it says, "For the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day." We notice here that it's not the path of the world, it's not the path of mankind, it's not the path of men in general, it's the path of the just. The scripture teaches us that the human race falls into two basic categories, the just and the unjust. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 6:45, he says, "For God causes the sun to shine upon the evil and the good, and he sends his rain upon the just and the unjust." Now, he didn't say in what proportions, details, but he says the evil benefit from the sun and the unjust benefit from the rain, like the good and the just do. Now, by nature, there are just one category, and that's unjust. Ecclesiastes 7:20, Solomon says, "There's not a man, not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." So here's another, very clear example of how you have to rightly divide the word truth. Man by nature is not just, and he's not good. But the Bible calls a few people just. As I've already stated, the Lord spoke of two categories, the just and the unjust. In Acts chapter 24, the Apostle Paul said that there shall be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. So again, we have these two categories that's brought before us. So how do those in the category of the just come to be just? That's what we preach here concerning the doctrines of grace. It's grace that causes people, or enables people that were unjust by nature, to be just in the sight of God. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the just, said he died in the place of the unjust, that he might bring us to God." In the book of Acts chapter 3, we find Peter referring to the Lord as the just one, spelled with a capital J. I mentioned this one time many years ago, and Brother Leland Smith said in a handshake, "There's just one, just one." I've used that many times since. He's exactly right. There's just one, just one, and that was Jesus Christ. But because he is the just one, he made those that the Father gave to him just in the sight of God by his redemptive work. Therefore, there's a category of people in the scripture that you can refer to as being just. Not just in themselves, they're just by the grace of God. So the text says, "For the path of the just," not the path of the unjust, but the path of the just, "is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day." David said in Psalms 27:11, he says, "Teach me, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path," a simple path. There is a path that the Lord's people ought to walk. We look in Jeremiah 6:16 for a familiar text. It says, "Stand ye therefore in the ways and see and ask for the old paths and walk therein, and you shall find rest unto your soul." Here are the old paths, paths that's been tried, that's been laid out by the Lord, that's been tested over time. He says, "Stand ye in the ways." There's various ways that you could go, but stand ye in the ways and see and ask. Here's something you need to be asking for. Ask for the old paths. These are spirit-directed paths, the old paths, and walk therein. And what will be the result? "You shall find rest unto your soul." Now, a lot of the Lord's people don't follow that command, and there's no rest in their souls. But we get back to the text, "For the path of the just is as a shining light." Again, we have a path that's for particular people, a path for people referred to as just, who've been made just by the just one, who by nature was unjust, but now are just in the sight of God as he sees them through the life and the offering sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the path of the just is as the shining light. It says this shining light shineth more and more into the perfect day. Now, I believe that perfect day, it's under consideration, is that last day that we spoke about in our closing remarks this morning. It says a shining light. One of the words that describes the world in which we live in, and there's more than one, but one of the words is darkness. This world is dark. Man by nature is darkness. Ephesians 5:8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. That's kind of what he was saying in Ephesians 2:1. He says, for you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. When they were dead in trespass and sin, they were darkness. When they were quickened, made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, they became light in the Lord. Now, as you read the first few verses of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not made anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We notice how life and light are together right here. You know, God is light. 1 John 1:5 says this, God is light in whom there is no darkness. Now, the world is darkness in which there is no light. Apart from God, there is no light in this world in which we live here. So, Jesus again tells his disciples in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that walketh after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, he is the life of which we have the light, right? Now, the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. When you've been born of the Spirit of God, you have eternal life. You have divine life, spiritual life. As a result of that life, you have light. That's why Jesus spoke like he did to his disciples, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. He said, ye are the light of the world. He says, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. He says, now, you don't take a light or a candle and put it under a bushel, but you put the candle on a candlestick. Why? Well, so it can give light to everyone. Light put under a bushel gives light to no one. And so then he goes on to say, for let your light so shine before men, they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you're the light of the world. You should let your light so shine before men, they might see your good works, not to commend you, not to elevate you and exalt you, but they might see your good works for what reason? To glorify your Father which is in heaven. For your light came from your Father in heaven. The light that you have, and everyone here this afternoon, you have a light that God gave you. When he born you, the Spirit of God, he put eternal life inside of you. You have a divine nature to go with your human nature, which is darkness. So we are to walk in the light as God gives us. The path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. When God arrested, you might say, you apprehended Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, what do we have happening here? We have a light that shined from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun. The sun is brilliantly bright, right? I mean, so bright that you're, you know, warned not to look directly into it. It could do damage to your eyes. Well, God's light, God being light, is brighter than the sun. Far brighter than the sun. All right, so God, who is light, shined on Saul of Tarsus on that Damascus road, and he struck him down. As you read the three accounts of Saul, and you come to Acts 22 for the second account, you'll find where Saul said, those that were with me saw the light, but heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. Now there's Saul and a group around him, I don't know how many, and God spoke, but nobody heard that voice that spoke to Saul but Saul. God spoke directly to him, and Saul heard that voice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, I'm speaking to every one of you here, but every one of you can hear me. There's no way that I can just speak to one of you without everybody else hearing me, right? But God did and does and did. He spoke to Saul of Tarsus, and nobody heard that voice except Saul. But everybody did see that light. Now, that light was brilliant. That light was far brilliant than the natural sun. And so God, whose light gives us life, and when that life comes light. Reminds me of the first chapter of Genesis. When it starts off, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What did God do? The first thing that God said was what? God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. That was not the sun, that was not the moon, that was not the stars. It was just light that was commanded to shine upon the face of the deep. And it shined. That's the lesson we have over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 6, he says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. I just quoted that from Genesis 1. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in your hearts. Now notice where it shined at. In your hearts, that you might see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where he shines it, right in your heart. When he born you the Spirit of God, it's darkness. You know, back in John 1, it says that God who's light, and it says the darkness comprehended it not. The word comprehend there means the darkness understood it not. You cannot understand the things of God with your human nature. Your human nature cannot comprehend it. Oh, it can learn it. It can understand the facts and history and those kind of things, but from a spiritual point of view and rejoicing in it, the natural man, this darkness, cannot comprehend light. And God is light, and his son Jesus Christ is the light of this world. So now he shines where? Right into your hearts. Now God's given us another light, and that's contained in the scriptures right here. Go to 119th Psalm. I think it's verse 105. He says, thy word, O Lord, is as a lamp unto my feet, as a light unto my path. You'll never have to worry about walking in darkness if you're walking according to this. When you search the word of God and you pray for divine leadership and guidance, you'll never have to worry about being led in the path of darkness. You'll be led in light. Thy word is as a lamp unto my feet. You know, back in that day, they didn't have flashlights and lanterns and things of that nature. They had candles. Mainly candles. But when David is saying here, when I walk, thy word is a lamp under my feet. It shines. I can see where I'm putting my feet. You know, I don't like to walk out in the yard even at nighttime if I don't have some light. If I don't say I have a flashlight, I might step in a hole, I might step on a rock or something, turn my ankle, whatever. And that light is very, very important. So he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, is a light unto my path. So the scriptures give us that kind of light. And then there's the gospel. You know, in 2 Timothy 1 and 10, it says, but now is made manifest by the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In fact, you just got to get God's people to understand that the gospel shines light on the work of Christ. It shines light on what he accomplished. So when the gospel is preached, that's light. We have the light of the word of God. We have the light of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ hath abolished death and brought life and immortality. What? To light through the gospel. Life and immortality. That's what God has given to his people. He has abolished death. When something's abolished, it has no longer any authority. There's nothing to it anymore. It's been abolished. It doesn't exist, so to speak. He hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So we have that light. We have God whose light, who shines his light in our hearts, gives us the light of his written word, gives the light of the gospel in Jesus Christ, and commands us to let our light so shine before men, they might see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Now, the text says that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. See, we're living, I believe, in the last days. And I believe there's three major dispensations of time taught in the Word of God. It's from Adam to Moses, Moses to Christ, and Christ until the second coming of Christ. And I've illustrated this way before, but once again, it's like Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark had three stories to it, and there was just one window up above where light could come in. And that light, I'm sure, went all the way down to the bottom story, but I think a common reason would tell you that the very bottom story didn't have as much light as the middle story. And the middle story didn't have as much light as the upper story. So all three stories had got some light, but not to the same degree, the same proportion. And so as we study mankind and study the Bible and what God has done, we find from Adam to Moses was a time of great darkness in terms of understanding and revelation, but not totally dark, because God revealed himself to Adam. He revealed himself in different ways, speaking directly to his children, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and them. But then along comes Moses, and he uses Moses to begin to write the Bible. He writes the first five books of the Bible. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And so it's a revelation of God. We're getting a little light here. But it took a while to get that Old Testament recorded. And we come all the way down to Malachi. It all wasn't written at one time. It was written over a period of time by different men. And then there's 400 years between Malachi and Matthew and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and the writers of the New Testament begin to write, and we have finally a finished book called the Bible, the Scriptures. As John, the Apostle John, writes the book of Revelation in somewhere around 95 AD. And then the Lord establishes gospel church, where again we have the written Word of God and we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got more light today than God's people have ever had in times past. Far more than they had from Adam and Moses. A lot more from Moses through Malachi had. We live in a day where we have the completed Word of God. The path of the just is like the shining light that shines more and more into that perfect day. That perfect day, the last day. Now, to me, it's like nature. Every once in a while, you can get up early in the morning when the sun rises. There's not a cloud in the sky, right? Not a cloud in the sky. I mean, almost what you might say, perfect. We find that description used over here by David in 2 Samuel chapter 23. We say, these be the last words of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He said, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Says it should be like a morning without clouds. The sun shining. That's a picture of perfection. He said, although my house be not so with God, yet it made with me an everlasting covenant, ordering all things and sure, although he maketh it not to grow. See the picture here? He said, that's not been my case. He says, that my house is not so. My house has got a lot of clouds in the sky. My house is such that the sun, it doesn't shine, you know, like it ought to. I got a lot of clouds out there. And so as we journey through life, we may have a cloud of doubt. We may have a cloud of fear. We have a cloud of discouragement. We may have a cloud of anxiety. We may have a cloud of depression. All kind of clouds out there that get between us and the sun. But see, that perfect day, there will be no clouds. There'll be no clouds in that perfect day. The concerns, the anxiety, the afflictions, bodily afflictions, spiritual afflictions, sufferings and persecutions, and doubts and fears and trials and tribulations, and all these things that can block that sun from shining like we'd like for it to do, they'll all go be removed. They're all going to be gone. Because the path of the justice has that shining light. And it shines more and more. It gets brighter and brighter and brighter. The closer we live to the Lord, the brighter that light shines. And there's coming a day when we shall depart this world like the thief on the cross. I don't think I mentioned him this morning, did I? What did he say to the Lord there? He said, Lord, when thou comest, remember me. When thou comest thy kingdom, remember me. And the Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And when that happened, there was no clouds anymore in the life of this man. No, indeed. Everything was perfect because he had sweet communion at that time with his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be in complete communion with God when that perfect day comes. Because the path of the just is as that shining light. It shines more and more to the perfect day. I'm glad there's a perfect day. I've never seen a perfect day, have you? I've never experienced a perfect day. Almost, maybe, seemingly. But somewhere along the way, during that 24-hour time, I had a thought I shouldn't have had. I said a word I shouldn't have said. I didn't get to eat as much as I wanted to. I mean, there's something, you know, that stopped it short of being that perfect day. Never have experienced a perfect day. Experienced a lot of imperfect days. But there will come a time when all the family of God will experience that perfect day, that day that shall never end, in which there shall not be a cloud in the sky.